Roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
St. Louis is our home. It's in our history and in our name. We have always served the people of St. Louis, and we always will, because our hearts are here and yours are too. We are the people of St. Louis University Hospital, and this is our city. And we will always be here to heal hearts, because you are special and we are specialists. St. Louis University Hospital. For more, visit SLUSpecialists.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Boom, boom, life can boom, be so boom, sweet boom, boom, on some boom, boom, side of the street. Boom. I used to walk in the shade with those.
Do we have a show today?
On the rail.
Do we?
Do?
I'm asking you, do we have a show today?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, every day, usually. Every Monday through That's Friday, really between 3 and 6.
You were literally too stupid to insult. Thank you.
I recorded that. That's the last meeting I had with management. I just wanted people to get an idea how they talk to me.
That's mine.
It's, I think it's probably even illegal to talk to them, but they always do it, you know, with no witnesses.
Oh,
so I just
sure. I've been in those meetings.
Unbelievable. Good afternoon, and welcome everybody to the March 24th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Yesterday, I mentioned something, and then it was a story, and then after I did it, I go through little phases where I get sort of obsessed with a topic, and I can't read enough about it, especially if it's stuff that really intrigues me. And if you remember yesterday, we talked about this kid, Ryan, who is not the first kid to say, I lived a past life, I was somebody else. But this story, you know, his parents are Baptists. Baptists don't believe in reincarnation. We're not going to get religious here. I'm not taking a religious stand. But I'm fascinated by things that we cannot explain, and things that make you, if you have half a brain, you have to be curious and wonder, how can that happen? For example, 60 Minutes years ago, and I've since watched a rerun of it, a repeat of it, and I still can't get over it. And it was the blind kid who, by all appearances, was extremely mentally challenged. He was completely blind. I don't believe he spoke. And one night, and this is not a joke, his mother heard the piano in their house being played like a concert pianist. She walks in and hears this kid playing classical music on the piano. Now, he's never had a lesson. He had no training. He's a kid. Absolutely unexplainable, unless in a past life he'd been a musician. How do you explain that? I would like to know how anybody explain to me how that happens, because you can't say, well, somebody secretly had been teaching him to play the piano. He was six or something. You know, you can't explain it. Or other savant-type behavior where there is no... I have a couple of stories today. One in particular, in my digging, and I found out there are all kinds of books and people who, this is all they do, is they study children. And I didn't realize how, I don't want to use the word common, I don't know if it's common, but how many thousands and thousands of cases there are of kids who continuously say things to their parents that they can't understand what they're talking about. And then it turns out they're trying at a young age, it's usually 3 to 6, They're trying to tell somebody, hey, I was somebody else. And I have a couple that, Dan, can we get our guest on the phone?
Yeah.
Because the other thing I have is I have somebody I want you to, I want you to talk to and I want you to hear from. Because there are people who also believe that you can be reincarnated as an animal, or you could have in a past life been an animal. Now, I don't know how you verify that. I can understand how you can pull historical records to sort of verify or confirm that, wow, this kid said he died in 1938 in a fire in Chicago, and his name was Pam. And that's one of the cases that we talked about a few weeks ago, and I pulled it up again. And sure enough, there was a Pamela Richardson, whatever her name was, who jumped from a fire in Chicago, same place, same location, same time, same circumstances, and other things down the line, that there'd be no way a kid that young could have made this up or been taught this. So I have a guy on the phone. Is he with us, Dan? I have a guy on
yes,
the phone
he is.
Who is absolutely positive that he was a dog before he was born as a human being. And he's asked me not to use his full name, and I understand it because of those people who'd want to harass him, look him up, ridicule him, say he was crazy. He says, just call me Tom N. And Tom is with us. Now, Tom, are you there?
I am.
Now, Tom told me off the air before we went on that he has a really bad cold, which... oddly enough, led me into finding out some really interesting things about Tom, just because of the fact that he had a cold. Now, Tom, we'll start with the fact that, do I have this right? You not only think, you know you were a dog.
Oh, yeah, I'm positive I was a dog. And as a matter of fact, I just came back from the vet because of this. I go to a vet instead of an actual doctor.
Yeah.
Because of this cold, and he's agreed to treat my cold, and he and I have a little bit of an agreement. And he's the only one that knows of my dilemma.
And you've asked that his name not be revealed because he could lose his license treating a person.
Right.
But you told me you're only comfortable going to a vet because you remember as a dog being in the care of a vet.
Exactly.
And that a vet saved your life when you were a dog, and that you're comfortable with that. I understand you also married a woman who works at an animal shelter. Because you're very comfortable with her.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's a lot to your story here, and I know you have a really bad cold, and you didn't want to talk a lot, so I'll talk, and you just verify or tell me if I'm off base here. What little I know about you is this. To this day, how old are you, Tom?
I'm 57.
57. You eat dog food twice a day, is that correct?
Dog food and dog treats, yes.
Dog treats. A particular favorite?
I like Purina One. I also like the Blue Buffalo products.
I'm not familiar with those. You guys heard of that?
I've heard of both of those. Yeah, Blue Buffalo just recently has become.
We don't buy it often because it's pretty. It's about $54 a bag. It's very expensive stuff. I play when I want to treat. It's Blue Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, you also, and I know this is something you're not happy with, but because you say it's an urge you couldn't control, you're a registered sex offender. Because it's my understanding that you were caught, and some children actually saw this, trying to lick yourself. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I have a lot of tendencies.
And you told the police that it's an urge you could not control. You have a natural urge to try to lick yourself, and it's frustrating because as a human, you can't do it anymore.
And I was arrested one time for sniffing another dog's butt, and I forget the charge, but it was outrageous.
Well, I also know, I talked to a couple of people, you lost the love of your life. You were engaged, actually, and had not yet had a chance to meet her family, and you finally were able to go to the home of her parents, and the whole thing disintegrated when you tried to hump her dad's leg. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Well, you laugh about it. But
I laugh because some of it I do as a joke, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, and then I guess other people don't see the humor.
You also said you chase cars.
Yeah, I'm not at 57. I'm slowing down, though. I can barely. I don't give them much.
Well, what happens? You're just outside, a car goes by, and you just find yourself running after it?
Exactly. Yeah, I just try to catch up with him. I try to get as close to the back tire as I can, you know, try to touch it, bend down, touch it with my hand. If it's like the mailman or somebody leaving, they're leaving kind of slow, I can still get up to them, but not like I used.
I don't know if Peon has had a chance to retrieve this yet, because you were going to send it to us. Peon, it's a recording of what sounds like a mad, angry dog. I don't know if that came through.
Yes,
yet.
No, I have it, yeah.
But what you're about to hear... Tom's wife actually knows about this interview, and she knows our agreement not to reveal his name. And she actually sent me this. This is something that she recorded in the middle of the night. She said that many times in the night, you make sounds that are not human. They're animal sounds, and there's no doubt it's a dog. And that when she wakes you up, you said you were having a bad dream, and you were dreaming... that you were attacking a mailman or something, and the sound is creepy, quite frankly. Here's the sound of the actual sound of Mr. N, Tom N, that he makes in the middle of the night in one of these dreams. I'm going to tell you, that's not human.
No.
That's not human. This is like in The Exorcist when that little girl takes on the voices of these satanic things. That's very scary.
It's my version of kind of talking in your sleep, you know. During a dream that I have these. Did my wife give you that?
She did. She sent us that. Now, I don't know. How long have you been married? I can't imagine many women that would put up with this.
22 years.
22 years. She said that on more than one occasion... you've had to have the carpet cleaning people out because you drag your butt on the carpet at home. You like to come out of the shower and then immediately go nude and drag your butt across the floor. That's obviously a dog thing.
It is a dog thing, but it feels so good. I mean, it scratches where you want to scratch, but you know you don't want to do it standing straight up. It's great. You pull yourself along. We've got some long, like shag carpet. I can kind of get my fingers in there, just pull myself along, and it really does feel good. I do other things too. I just occasionally, we've got an actual couple of pets here, and I can identify with them, of course. We've got a couple of dogs, and you know, I'll pee on the floor and blame it on the dog and stuff like that just for fun.
Well, your wife also shared with me that you've never used an indoor toilet, that you, like a dog, you go to the door and stand there till she notices you and you go out and poop in the yard. Is that true?
That's right. Yes, I still do that.
That's what you're most comfortable with.
Incredible. Mm. Do you guys have a question for Tom N?
Now, you stand there and wait for your wife to open the door, but you know how to open doors, right?
Yeah, but we can communicate, you know, just visually with each other. She knows what that means when I'm standing at the door. It's just like if your dog's waiting to go out, and she's kind enough to, she knows my scenario, and she comes and lets me out, and I go out and do my business and come back in.
But do you guys have a privacy fence?
No, we don't have a privacy fence. We're on a big piece of property, though, and nobody can see me, I don't think.
Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if I missed this or not. Do you have children at all with your wife?
I've got two kids, yeah.
Okay, and this may be a little personal question.
I know where you're headed. Go ahead. I was going to ask the same thing. Position?
Sexual relations wise.
He has one position only. You can imagine what it is.
You can imagine.
You have a preferred method, I guess.
That's the thing that gave us the two children, that one position, dog style. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I know will see you and have commented, and I've done a little checking here, and they think that you're a fitness nut or something, that you're wearing like a Fitbit thing. That's a flea collar that you wear.
Yeah, it is. I just do it for protection. I don't like, when I was, in fact, a full-fledged dog, I had a real flea and tick problem and heartworm. So I continue to take protection to make sure I don't.
Do you remember at all what kind of dog you were in your past life?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I do. I was a mix. Mostly I was about... I can tell a little bit more than most people can in a mix because I was, in fact, that I was about an 82% Brittany Spaniel and 18% Beagle.
Hmm.
Oh.
Interesting. Do you know how you died? Were you put to sleep by a vet, or were you hit by a car? How do you know how you died?
I was hunting. My owner back then trained me and taught me how to hunt rabbits, and I was hunting, and he shot me by accident.
How do you know it was accident? Were you a bad dog? Sometimes people go, bad dog, bad dog. Were you a bad dog? Maybe he shot you and said it was an accident.
Could have been. But I trusted this guy, and I think I just got a little too close to the rabbit. I was fast, like you said. I chased cars and stuff, and I can catch them, or used to be able to. But I trusted him, so I just assumed it was a mistake.
Well, I'll tell you, this is some story, and
yeah,
I really appreciate you being with us.
I've never heard of anybody.
I've never seen an article. These articles that are coming out now about these kids knowing about, but boy, they have a clear memory of being a dog. This is a new one. And hey, who are we to say it's not true?
No.
I mean, it's in his head, not ours. And you don't sound like a crazy person. You sound pretty sane to me.
Pretty sane, other than some of my idiosyncrasies. Pooping in the yard and stuff.
What do your kids think about that stuff?
Do they know? Do your kids know? You have kids, I guess? Do they know you were a dog?
My kids and my wife both know I was a dog, yes.
Huh. Of course, they don't say anything to other kids. There'd be major harassment toward them if they...
And my vet. My kids, my wife, and my vet are the only ones who know.
Huh. That's interesting.
How often do you see your vet?
I go every 6 months to the vet, and if I have something, you know, that like I have now with this upper respiratory problem, I just go, you know, as needed.
Yeah.
But usually every 6 months.
Now, you've never bit anyone being a human like this, have you?
No, I have not. I've been tempted, but I have not done it.
I'm sorry. I beg to differ. I pulled your file, your record, right. And here we go. 1999 in a suburb of Philadelphia. Does that ring a bell? Did you live up there?
Yeah.
You remember, recognize the name of a mail carrier named Elizabeth Talmadge? Does that ring a bell? She says she still carries scars to this day where you bit her on the breast.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess I do remember something like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I mean, we're all about being forthright and honest and, you know, full disclosure here. So I'm not happy with the fact you tried to cover that up because that is part of your life. And you are a registered sex offender, even though I think a lot of people would agree some things you cannot control. Like the time you were seen by children trying to lick yourself. That's a dog tendency.
Yes, it is.
So I have to feel for you there. And I think a lot of people would be sympathetic to that. You also wear a shock collar and you have an electric fence around your house. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got a fence that, not the buried kind, but it starts from the inside of the house and it just has a radius that goes around the house and it just keeps me in the area.
Because of the car chasing thing. Your wife says a couple of occasions she almost lost you to a car, and they had to put an end to that and kind of contain you with an electric fence.
That's right.
All right. Well, I know you got another point with the vet because you got that cold. And Tom, Ann, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I hope that cold goes away soon, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Tom, Ann, formerly a dog.
That's fascinating.
That's incredible. Wow. What a story.
That's wild.
You're not going to hear that interview anywhere else because he said to me when they moved to St. Louis 10 years ago, he said his wife walked in the kitchen and they had this show on the radio and he was, you know how a dog will hear something?
Oh, sure.
And she said Tom was howling and howling and she recognized that sound. That's the sound that he makes when he hears something pleasing to his ears. He and she knew this would be the show for him to listen to. And he said, for that reason, we're the only show he will grant an interview to. So you're not going to see Dr. Phil talking to this guy.
No.
You know, or Oz or any of those people. Just us. We're going to take a break. We come back and we do the Burke segment. I still got chills from that.
Yeah.
The interview. And wait till you hear these other stories that I sort of, I didn't stumble on them, I went looking for them, but these are from psychiatrists and people who have interviewed these kids. There's some very interesting stuff here. And I guess my question would be, how will we ever prove or disprove that these kids actually were somebody else? How can you confirm? I mean, granted, this kid, Marty Martin was the actor's name in Hollywood. Down the line, he got, and remember, he even said, "Mommy, how could God kill me at 61 and bring me back as a baby?" And they found that even though there was an error on the death certificate that showed him 59, they went and did further searching and found it was a mistake. He was 61. How could that kid know that?
I don't know.
But again, there'll be skeptics. And look, I'm not going to get religious here. I get that there are people who absolutely say that is not biblical. There is no such thing as reincarnation. You die, you go to heaven, you go to hell. Then how do those people, how do you explain this? How do we explain this? It has to make you wonder.
Yeah, and especially from what I took away from the article is, you know, if somebody was making this up, they would have picked a famous actor or somebody more well-known, but they really had to do research on this guy because he was just an extra in this film.
Well, and not only that.
He had done some other, acting work on Broadway or whatever, but...
truth is, if people are reincarnated, you can't all be the reincarnation of somebody who was famous. I mean,
right,
not everybody's
But
famous...
usually you would think in a story like that, you would make it, it was some...
if you made it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But this, what I found is in all these interviews with these kids, and there are thousands of them, very few of them were anybody of note. They were just regular people, like the woman who jumped out of the building in Chicago. The building was on fire. She wasn't famous.
And they know too many little things.
Yes.
I mean, he had two daughters or two kids.
How about this? We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll jump into more of this, and we'll take your calls. But I found a forum online where parents of these kids who do these strange things that make them think there's something going on in this kid's head, there's a forum for these people. And I clicked on one because I saw where this parent had written to this psychiatrist and said, "Why does my little girl speak French?"
Oh.
At 4.
Whoa.
And said that the kid would turn and instead of saying why, would say pourquoi. And she said, "Nobody in our house speaks French. We've never played a French lesson that this kid could have heard. It absolutely is hard, impossible to explain." That she kept saying, and she said at first, like all little kids when they're 2, they speak kind of baby gibberish.
Yeah.
They thought it was just baby talk, and then they started to notice that they were around somebody who actually knew some French. You go, "Oh my goodness, your little girl speaks French," and they just went, "What?"
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff is the stuff that just, wow, makes me... I don't know. It's interesting to me. We'll jump back into it after we take a quick break here, and we'll do the Burke segment, and we'll have Colin Jeffrey in. He'll talk about entertainment and all that stuff. Mark and Jason. Mark Reardon, Jason Becker. I told you, my daughter has a goal, and her goal is to one day save enough money that she can go to Mark and Jason and go, "Okay, here's my $25,000. Put it to work for me." And that's exactly what we're going to do. They're financial advisors. Lots of people are. There are probably at least hundreds, maybe a couple of thousand of them in the St. Louis area. Some are good, some are charlatans, shyksters, crooks. They shouldn't even be allowed to give financial advice. Some are very good at it. You have to kind of go with your instincts and your gut when you talk to these people. Who is it that's just trying to do a money grab? And who really wants to see you do well and be a satisfied client so that you can tell other people when they ask, "Hey, where do you get your financial advice, Mark and Jason?" That's what they'd prefer. And that's why they've been at it for as long as they have with Stifel Nicolaus, a reputable firm. And the next move is yours. If you have $25,000 or more, maybe it's already invested somewhere. I doubt that you have it in anything where if that's all you have and you got it where you can't get your hands on it for 10 years, right there's bad advice that somebody gave you. There's a formula, and it's different with each person. So much liquid you can get your hands on. Some that's tied up and locked up. Some that's tax deferred. Some that's tax exempt. I don't know any of that stuff. They do. But you'd like to hang on to that money. You'd like to see the sum be greater at some point. Why don't you talk to them? See what they think. Tell them what you're doing. They're going to ask you some questions, and they should. Anybody who does this right asks a lot of questions about you, who you are, what kind of work do you do, how stable is it? Radio, for example. Once you tell them you're in radio, they just write down the word, instability. You know, not long for this world with this career. But maybe you're in something where it's just watertight and solid and you have it all laid out. You know exactly what you're going to make, what the pay scale is, the increases, what the retirement. You know all that. They need to know that. They need to know what you're going to want out of life down the road. You like to travel? Do you not care about travel? Do you want nice cars? You don't care about cars like Peon. All that factors in to what kind of future you want and what kind of money you'll need for that future. They are Mark and Jason, and their website is markandjason.com.
Meet me.
Let's see how traffic's moving along. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, he hit the nail on the head about people in radio, didn't he?
No kidding.
The first thing I heard is, oh, you don't want to get in that business. All right, not much happening on the highways right now. We're a little bit heavy, starting to get heavy now from Hampton to McCausland. Also on westbound 44, that right lane from just south of the Guy Road overpass ramping onto 270. And then downtown on northbound 55, that right lane is slow from Park to the Poplar. We also have some ramp restrictions on northbound 170 at Forest Park Parkway, a stall at the exit ramp. And traffic's getting by on the left. And this traffic report is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance Auto Parts, order your parts online and pick them up in-store in just 30 minutes so you can get back to the garage doing what you love. Order online at AdvanceAutoParts.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jackson, and this week is flying by. We'll keep that going on Wednesday morning with medical news from Dr. Jeff Lowell, a visit from Kat Neville from Feast Magazine. She just got back from Vietnam with some great stories. And are you ready to get kinky? We'll chat with a cast member from the musical Kinky Boots in studio. It's McGraw Live. Join us for all of that, plus news, traffic, weather, and sports to start your workday on the Big 550 KTRS.
You've probably heard Weedman is the best lawn care company, and for that, we are truly thankful. We feel it's imperative in this day of high childhood obesity to promote healthy activities on your lawn and other sports turf areas. Our team of Weedman professionals feel it's only fair to give back, and so we are announcing a community sports sponsorship contest. Upload a photo of your community or school-based sports team to Weedman USA's Facebook page. Include your team name, league name, and location in the photo description. The top three team photos with the most likes will earn up to a $5,000 sponsorship and a team hydration kit from Weedman Lawn Care. Open to all, customers or not. Go to Weedman's Facebook page for official rules. Get creative with your picture and get networking to help your favorite team win an awesome sponsorship. Our goal is to aid in the fight to lower obesity in kids and adults by promoting more outside activities on our lawns. Having a Weedman lawn makes growing up a memory framed in green. Have your team compete in Weedman's sports team sponsorship contest on Facebook today.
As a business owner, you know it's critical to surround yourself with people who have the knowledge you need. That's why you should interview a region's business banker. In fact, you should grill them with the tough questions. For example, what process do you use to understand how money flows through my business? Will you be able to offer solutions that maximize my cash flow? Do you have good ideas about how I can expedite collections? How can you help me find that 25th hour in a day? These are all very valid questions when you're looking for somebody to help your business thrive today and down the road. We come prepared. And because no interview candidate worth their salt would miss the chance to ask a few smart questions too, that's exactly what we'll do. So get together with a region's business banker to see how you click. Call 1-800-833-9776. That's 1-800-833-9776. Or visit regions.com/interview to get started. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
The real estate market is heating up, and you need an expert in there helping you every step of the way. And that's where Kathy Helbig from the Kathy Helbig Group comes in. How hot is this market?
The market is hot right now for both sellers and buyers. Interest rates are low for buyers, and inventory is low for sellers, so it's a perfect market for both.
If a seller calls you up, can you help them with staging their home?
Absolutely. We ask sellers to call us way in advance so that we can come in and advise them on staging and trends so that we can get the most dollar for their home before they go on the market.
Your buyer's agents and your seller's agents are specialists, and they have and you have incorporated technology. Tell us about that.
We have. We offer client-issued iPads to use throughout the transaction so that we can do paperless with our clients. We can communicate through the iPads, and we also have all kinds of fun apps for them to search for homes, as well as decorating and other apps for in and around their house.
That's Kathy Helbig from the KathyHelbigGroup.com, 314-276-SOLD, or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
It's a game no Illini or Mizzou sports fan should miss. Come see Illinois and Mizzou baseball play for bragging rights on Tuesday night, March 31st. The game's at GCS Ballpark, home of the Gateway Grizzlies. Tickets start at only $10. Sit in a suite with an all-you-can-eat buffet and enjoy drinks for even the thirstiest of college appetites. Spend a great night at the ballpark watching your alma mater.
Yeah, we know who's going to win.
Get your tickets now by calling 618-337-3000 or go online to GatewayGrizzlies.com.
Managing depression. It's about getting you back to you. If you're still experiencing feelings such as depressed mood and lack of energy, whether or not you're taking an antidepressant, the Forward studies may be an option. They're evaluating an investigational drug designed to work with antidepressants to see if it can help address unresolved symptoms of depression.
To learn more, call 888-44-MERCY. That's 888-446-3729 or visit forwardstudies.com.
For a limited time at Metro Lighting, save 25% on already guaranteed lowest prices, including regularly priced, clearance, overstock, and discontinued merchandise for savings up to 70%. For any budget or style, keep your dollars local and shop Metro Lighting, where ultimate customer service is the goal. The prices are guaranteed, and all lighting, lamps, and ceiling fans include a complete one-year warranty beyond the manufacturers. Visit any of the 7 Metro Lighting area locations and let your savings begin. Some restrictions apply. See stores for details.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Philadelphia Freedom, Elton John. This man knows his music. Elton John's got a song on my that I have on my iPod called Club at the End of the Street. And if you say that, people go, what? They know, you know, they can name you a dozen Elton John songs, but they don't know Club at the End of the Street.
I like that song.
It's my favorite Elton John song.
Yeah, it's a good song, and Gray Seal is one of my favorite Elton John songs.
Yes, you know what? Yes, Gray Seal.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I wanted to know the name of Gray Seal. This was before Shazam or any of the easy, like, go online. Yeah, this is Club at the End of the Street. What a terrific, just great melody. Great. Kick it up a little bit. This is drive-fast music. You're in the car, and this comes on. In my case, my iPod, I have to add another 10 miles per hour. Crank it up.
When the shakes are drawn, and the light of the moon is back.
Love this.
And the stars up above walk the heavens.
Now, I also pull up Gray Seal because I know the song. I can't get the melody in my head. What a this Elton John, man. And you talk about a guy who has gone through all these transformations. When he first started out, though, he was like Lady Gaga.
Oh, those glasses
wild outfits and
stuff.
And, oh, man. And one time he had 500 different pairs of glasses.
Duck hats.
That was cool.
Feathers and kind of a Liberace looking guy. And I think what you have to do is get the world's attention. And Gaga did the same thing. And then after you get their attention, you can show them you actually have talent.
He is very talented.
Well, you're right. Gray Seal. And he's got little fat, chubby fingers.
I know.
You wouldn't think he could play the piano. Like this.
No.
He's like a little dumpling guy. Oh, yeah, wow, you never hear this song played. They play the same ones over and over and over.
No.
All right, quick hit from Ballast Dental Care, and then off to the Burke segment, into the news, and then all kinds of stuff. And we'll talk more about this Children with Past Lives. I'm fascinated by this stuff. 43 years this year, Ballast Dental Care. I'm sorry, make that 42. 73? Yeah, 42 years this year. I don't know the exact month. I think it was April. I think next month is where I actually start the 44th year, but I can't be sure about that. Because I know I went to work at a particular place in March, and right after I went to work, on the advice of a coworker, I found Ballast Dental Care. So I'm going to say it was April, maybe May, but let's go with April. Nonetheless, I got the year right. It's 42 years this year. That's a long time. That's a long time to do the same thing
anywhere when it's the same place. But I can't imagine any place being better. And I've talked to other people who've been to other dentists, and they say the same thing and confirm what I think, is that this is as good as it gets, Ballast Dental Care. I know the other dental advertisers all make it sound like they're on an equal plane. I doubt it. There may be a couple, but we want you to go to the people and the businesses and the services that make this show possible, and those are the people I speak for, and we will never, ever try to send you anywhere or to have you buy any product or any service that we wouldn't use or buy ourselves. And one of the biggest and greatest testimonials I have is Ballast Dental Care. I can't imagine there are more than three or four people who have a stronger testimonial than I do, and maybe that's somebody who's been going there 43 or 44 years, and I think they've only been around about 45. It's everything you never thought a dental clinic could be, and still very professional. Now, when you go into these places and the people that work there dress up like clowns, and they, I know about those places. I've seen them profiled on 60 Minutes, and it almost becomes circus-like. I don't want that. I want to feel like I'm in the hands of people who are as good with state-of-the-art dental technology as anybody, who are up to speed, latest and greatest, but at the same time, they take what they do seriously, but they have a way of making you feel like they get it and they understand why you were nervous and why you were afraid. And in no time at all, that's gone. That's out the window. And your next appointment, you will not dread. You'll actually look forward to it. You think I'm kidding? Make an appointment. Make one appointment. Go to Ballast Dental Care. And you email me and you tell me if I was right or not. Here's how you do that. You go to their website. It's ballastdentalcare.com. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. Ballastdentalcare.com. Do we have any Burke segments? Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. Eon the Peon, our control board operator.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I stumbled across a story yesterday, and I thought it would be interesting to share. We all know the Park
Hill. Why would it be interesting to her to share? What about us?
Oh.
She's not even going to hear it.
S-H-A-R-E.
Oh, I got it.
Not
okay.
The singer.
Okay.
We all know Yellowstone Park, which is a place.
Wyoming or Colorado?
Yellowstone National Park.
Covers a couple of states, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's a pretty huge park.
Never been there.
It's definitely on my list of, I think it should be on everybody's list of something to see.
See that geyser.
Yeah. Old Faithful. Yeah. But there was a time when it wasn't a national park. It was, unseen territory, the pioneers. You were just stumbling into the West, and so there was this gentleman. Do you know the story of Truman Everts?
I do not.
He was a former assessor for the territory of Montana, and he joined an expedition, and they were all going into the heart of Yellowstone National Park. And so he joined a party of 19 men and 40 horses, and they set out into the park. And for much of the trip, they just went around the lake a little bit. And it said at the one point, while they were at the south end of the lake, Everett nearly met his demise. While the party was whacking its way through the thick timber.
Hold on, they were whacking. Whacking
there.
Wow. I guess it's secluded and private. I guess you could do that.
No, I think they were tearing the thick timber down so they could walk through.
Oh.
He got separated from the group, and so he didn't think it was that big of a deal because, he goes, I'll just camp for the night, and I'm sure I'll see them at breakfast the next morning. But the next day, he gets back up and sets off in the direction they were all traveling, and he lost his way again. And then he made a huge mistake.
This guy wasn't a very good explorer.
He made a huge mistake, and he got off his horse and left it with the reins just, trailing behind him. And then something spooked the horse, and all of a sudden it took off at full speed among the trees.
And the geyser hit the horse.
No, that was the last time Truman saw his horse with all of his supplies. Blankets, guns, everything. The only thing he had on were the clothes on his back and a couple knives. And so for the next 37 days, he was by himself. And so he sustained himself by this thistle weed, which they ended up naming the Everts thistle after him. It's Truman thistle. Oh, no, Everts. Yeah, Everts thistle, they ended up naming it. And when they found him, he was down to 55 pounds.
Whoa.
He survived, though. He kept himself warm. He kept himself warm by laying next to the, you know, the geothermal, water spouts, you know, because it's warm there. Right. And so he would, but he was burned a little bit by the geothermal spouts. And then he wore his feet down to the bone. And yes, so they ended up finding him, but it was funny when they found him. His quote was, I would have made it out on my own.
I thought you were gonna say when they found him, he was peeing on a big old rock, Yellowstone. That's how they got the name.
Oh yeah.
So I just thought that
55 pounds. How tall was this guy? Do we know?
I don't know if it,
unless they, you're 5'2". Or make it 4'2".
Even 5'2", yes. I mean, nobody should be, once you reach the age of 10, I don't think you should be below 55 pounds again. But, yeah.
I should know more about Yellowstone. It's like two or three states. I mean, it's huge.
Oh, yeah. It? Yeah, no, it's definitely on the list of one thing I want to see. But, yeah, he ended up living to the age of 85. No worse for the wear of his
ordeal.
How old
was he during this ordeal?
He was 54 at the time.
Man.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a pretty cool story to hear.
It confirms what I feel about hiking and stuff. You're just asking for trouble.
Oh, yeah, because you think about it. At one point, all these national parks nowadays, they were never explored. So somebody had to make their way in there. And,
a lot of people got eaten by bears and stuff.
Oh, sure. And, you know, some of those national parks are the terrain is really rough and everything, so. Somebody was the first to see those.
So what are the big attractions at Yellowstone Park? The geyser?
Old Faithful?
Geyser.
It was on
the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
Don't they have those big redwood trees or something you kind of walk and stand inside of? Where is that?
I think that's California. Redwoods National Forest, yeah.
Yeah, where's the Petrified Forest? Is that?
You had to throw that in there.
Let's see.
I don't care anything about seeing that, by the way.
Oh, the Petrified Forest? We went there a long time ago when
that's
I was
in Arizona.
Kid.
Bunch of wood turned to stone.
Yeah, when I was a kid, and I had a little block of wood that was like stone that was from the Petrified Forest.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But that was it. I just thought that was.
Dan, you have anything?
Yeah, I have something.
All right. Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank. Went to a restaurant last night.
Good story.
Restaurant and bar.
You're not done.
No.
Go ahead.
No, and we were sitting there eating, and the table next to us was a bunch of girls, and they had a little kid. And we were all kind of complaining because the air conditioner kicked on, and it was so cold, and it was like a huge, like somebody opened all the windows in the place, and this big draft would come in.
And what do they think they are, KTRS?
Yeah, no kidding. So we asked the manager about it, and the manager came over finally and said, I'm sorry, it's on a timer. And I said, isn't there an on and off switch? You can't just turn it off because it's pretty cool outside.
Well, you're the worst nightmare at a restaurant.
And the people at the table next to us, they complained also. And so the waitress was really nice, but she seemed like she was having one of those confusing bad nights, you know, where
that earlier that day she just found out she was pregnant.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So the table next to us, we noticed they were completely gone. She comes by with those little booklets with your check in it, and she puts the check down, and then she goes and she looks at that table, and she's getting ready to put it down on the table, and she's like, where'd they go?
They bolted?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, they got up and left. I didn't even notice them leaving. They all got up and left. Well, then the manager and the waitress ran outside, and we saw them looking around for these people. And then out of the bathroom comes one of the girls that was in this group and her little kid. And she's just sitting there. And so the waitress went over, and she's talking to her, and she said, everybody just left. She goes, yeah, I know. I just got a text from them. They said, we just decided to walk out. So you can come and meet us at the car or whatever if you want. So they left her, and the waitress said, are you going to pay for this bill? And she goes, I can't pay for this bill. So the manager came over and talked to her, and then they just let her go with the kids.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I don't know
I guess
you can't do there.
Hold them.
Here's why you're a numbskull if you do that now. With cameras everywhere?
Oh,
I know. You think you're just going to walk out of most restaurants or any place has cameras.
Yeah.
Parking lot. What are you going to do with a video of it, though?
you're going to show that they left and didn't pay.
Yeah.
There you go. It's on video.
How do you track them down?
Yeah, you don't really know who they are.
Like unless there's a video, a camera in the parking lot, you get a license plate number or something.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
I'm afraid to do anything anymore. I'm not kidding. I'm not a criminal anyway. But there's more of a reason now than ever not to do stuff because everybody has cameras.
And
for all you know, a patron might realize what you did, like Dan. He realized they bolted and hold your cell phone up and get them as they're leaving and get the car.
Yeah, I didn't even notice them walking out because they got up. And then the one girl went into the bathroom. I didn't even notice her go to the bathroom. Well, she didn't even know that they all left. They all just left. And then they sent her a text when she came out, and she was kind of looking for them.
That's great friends there.
Yeah, no kidding.
The only time we ever walked out of a restaurant, we were not married long, and we were young, and we had no money. And we were with another couple, and we went into a Benihana. Do you remember those places?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Japanese restaurants.
Yeah.
And we were so broke, and we sat down and opened the menu, and we just looked at each other like, we cannot afford this. Now, they'd already brought out some bread or crackers or something. I don't know. And they'd walk.
Yeah.
But we were embarrassed to say, I'm sorry, we can't afford to eat here. So one by one, we pretended to go to the bathroom. We just left. We didn't bolt on a bill.
All right,
I'll never forget that day. And we got outside and we're laughing. It's funny to be poor, but because, I don't know, you don't know to be embarrassed, I guess. But we were too embarrassed to just say, we're going to have to leave. So we thought, we'll just act like we're going to the restaurant. I'll never forget that.
So you never ordered. You just had some of
this. No, I know who we were with. I still remember who we were with. It was a Benihana, and I'll never forget that. And it's one of the great poverty stories. I love those stories. And I got another one some other time about my wife and I tried to go to dinner, and our MasterCard was maxed out. It was really, really embarrassing. We, in a restaurant, it was just so embarrassing. We'll get to that another time. American Equity, we'll take a break here, do some news, come back. We'll talk about some more of these kid past lives things. And then Colin Jeffrey will join us. American Equity Mortgage has been a part of this show for about 24 years. That's right. This show was around before it was on this station. It'll probably be around in some form or another on another station after this station. We still got a lot to talk about here. We still have stories. And American Equity Mortgage still has a lot of people to help. A lot of people to help, help them become homeowners, help them get out of bad debt like credit card debt. Their mission is just getting started. And they've done a real good job over the last 24 years or so. So if you don't have a clue who to call for a mortgage, here's your clue, American Equity Mortgage. If you want to know how to get out from under that credit card debt, stop making